I want to explain our reading this morning, and that we're talking about aging. And actually what I'm talking about is the pitfalls of aging, avoiding the pitfalls of aging. When we had gone to Branson a few months ago, Regina's sister and brother-in-law was there, and Doug Kay, y'all have seen them before. And we got talking about things that happened to us and my surgeries and Regina's surgery coming up. And then they got talking about their, his heart surgery, that he had bypass surgery. And not only that, he had a cancer scare. And then she fell and broke one foot. And then after a while, she fell and broke another foot. And then she had to have surgery on her hand. And we talked about all this here, and I thought, when did all this start happening? Is this a sign of us just getting old? And the response was, yes, that's what's going on here. And that's what Ecclesiastes is talking about there. And he's describing the aging process when we don't see as well as we used to. We don't hear as well as we used to. Our teeth are starting to miss, or we're starting to miss teeth. And just the whole process of not sleeping as well. And just kind of thought about that when I thought about this lesson here. Because aging is part of life. And in fact, over in Psalms 92, verse 13 and 14, it says, "For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They should still bear fruit in old age. They should be fresh and flourishing." There's nothing really golden about the golden ages, some people say. I remember my mom, whenever the last few years of her life, was going to a store. She was getting out of the car and walking into the store. Somebody noticed her, and they said, "Well, the thing about the golden years is that they're really not golden, are they? They don't tell you about that." Well, that's a pretty bleak outlook at it. But I think we do understand a lot more about what happens with the age process as we grow older. In fact, when I got thinking about this lesson, I realized that there's really three categories of people that may be listening this morning. One is those who are already old. And I'll let you decide if you're that category or not. But those who can really sympathize and relate to what the quiz has talked about already. There's also those that don't grow old. And then if you're young, and if you keep on having birthdays, you're going to grow old eventually. And then a third category is those who, well, they don't plan on growing old or don't grow old. And so unless you're in that last category, I think this pertains to all of us, really. Because if you're young, you may wonder, why does my appearance act this way? Why does somebody older always act this way? And if you're older, you may think, well, what can I do to avoid the pitfalls of aging? And so that's what we're going to talk about for a while, because as we age, we change. And we change more than just in our appearance, we change in our character also. In fact, people who grow to an older age kind of do habits they receive, and they kind of find annoying other things people are doing around them. And what's more is that they don't realize they're developing these habits. We want to look at some of the warnings the Scriptures give to us. First of all, constant complaining. If you think about it, the older we get, the harder things are. In fact, again, related to my mom, whenever she would get up and she had to get dressed, she had to get a shower. And at the time, I didn't realize what that was like. But then, as I get older, I realize, well, you know, it takes more effort to do those things. To get dressed, get a shower, not in that order, but you know, but you have to work at things. And no wonder why you get tired a lot quicker, because everything requires more effort. When I was young, I used to get up, get a shower, go work out. And I didn't really think about the process of getting ready for the rest of the day, because I was just going to get ready for the rest of the day. And so we started complaining about physical pains, maybe. And we may start complaining about other things that we notice about people. For instance, my mother-in-law used to talk about people don't talk loud enough anymore. She used to talk about, why does nobody talk loud enough anymore for me to hear them? And we thought, well, maybe your hearing's going bad. No, that's not it. No, she didn't really want to write that answer there. But you start thinking about it, are you hearing people like you used to? Or maybe it's one of the things, so how much things cost today? If you're around older people, young people, you understand that your parents talk about, well, I remember when gasoline used to be 50 cents a gallon. I can remember that, by the way. Or you remember when you used to be able to go to the store and get a bag full of candy for a quarter or a nickel. And that's a process of how things keep on going up. And you may think, well, gasoline, probably for some of you, has never been below $2 a gallon as far as memory goes. And so you start thinking about what it's like, though, to have go for 50 cents a gallon up to $4.50 a gallon. And so they start complaining about that. Or nobody's friendly anymore. Nobody comes to talk to me anymore. Nobody visits anymore. Those kind of things goes on. It reminds me of an older woman who had a grandchild or a granddaughter, and had a little chair. You know, you have to use a little chair for your grandchildren. And she said she'd pick up the chair and move it around. And she sat down. But she noticed after a while that when she sat down, she always made this noise. And the noise was, And she wondered, why is she doing that? And then she realized one day that she does that because she's mimicking her grandma and grandpa. And so, you know, you have the sound, and you have the sound when you're trying to get up. And so those kind of things happen. And I could think we can relate to that. And so instead of complaining, we need to be thankful. So do all things without grumbling or disputing. Maybe a pastor could look to the pastor here. And the complaining slowly starts reshaping our character. And we're not careful, we start complaining about everything. And we start even complaining about it's too sunny outside or too rainy outside. And you start wondering, well, when are you happy? And we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the fact we get up. We need to be thankful for the fact you can move. We need to be thankful you have loved ones around you. There's a lot of things we need to be thankful for. And so instead of complaining or grumbling, you need to be thankful for what you have received. The second thing is, there's a tendency to reject anything new. God often works through fresh and new methods of doing things. And, you know, doing things new sometimes gets bad rap. And sometimes deservedly so, because sometimes new things are introduced that are unscriptural. We're talking about things that maybe change for the better. Change is hard a lot of times. And I'm the kind of person, my son, I think, kind of gets it from me a lot, but I don't like change very often. But you start thinking about it, the change we make often are for the better. For instance, when it comes to scriptures, that a bad answer is we've always done it this way before. And you start thinking about that, it invites inaction. And how many people would say, we've always done it this way before at church? Or maybe they hear the gospel, they hear the truth, and they say, well, I can't change now. I'm too old to change. Have you ever heard that? I'm too old to change now. Or my mom and dad believe this, so I can't change my religion. And so we have to realize that it may just prove that we are stubborn instead of not wanting to change because it requires more effort from us. So in the sons of Issachar, over in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, the first part of that verse especially, so the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And therefore they understood that the things were changing among them. And as we get old, we gain wisdom and we gain knowledge. We must be flexible enough to adapt sometimes the situation as they change. God often calls us to get out of our comfort zones. My dad didn't obey the gospel until he was in his 40s. I know people that start preaching in their 50s, 60s. And I admire that because it means they're willing to change, they're willing to try something to do. And we must have the faith and spirit to be able to grow. We must open our hearts to God's word. And we need to examine our hearts. And we need to examine the God's word, open our hearts. So it's a change when we find, if I'm doing something wrong, or if I'm not doing what the Bible teaches me to do, I need to be willing to change. Again, now, I've always done this way before. It's a cop-out a lot of times. Because sometimes we may have done it wrong before. And we're consistent about what we're doing it wrong time and time again. But if you keep on doing the wrong things again, you know what it means? It means you're wrong. And it means you don't stay wrong. So you have to be willing to change. And embrace change doesn't mean we abandon God's commandments. It means that we adapt our way of doing what we're doing to meet God's commandments, make them head on, and to listen to what other people are saying. For instance, Order services. I was at a place that I was amazed of all the issues the church faces. I was amazed by a couple of things. One was order search. Now, here we've changed order searches. And I will admit, it takes a little bit of changing around to kind of adapt to it, but it's been good. And our time services. Now, that was the biggie at one congregation that we talked about changing services from Sunday evening from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You would have thought we had talked about introducing idols into worship. You would have thought that we would talk about having instrumental music. I mean, of all the issues facing Lord's people today, I never envisioned the time service being such a big issue there. Now, that created a big problem there. A lot bigger problem than what change time service would have done, by the way. Older services, when we do have the Lord's Supper, do we do it before or after preaching? All those kind of things require change. But again, change makes us more effective. I remember also in the writing board. Now, I don't use writing board because I learned very quickly I cannot talk and spell at the same time. And one of the first times I used that, I misspelled the word ignorance. Of all the words misspelled, that's not the word that's misspelled, ignorance. But some congregations, the writing board was a big introduction, a big renovation, innovation in their time services. And then eventually they started having these projectors. Do you remember them? Projectors that you laid the slides on. And congregation started thinking, well, is that scriptural? Now, that's a good question to ask, but yes, it's scriptural. I mean, it doesn't change what you're doing, it doesn't change what you're preaching. And then eventually PowerPoint came along. I know a congregation that had a preacher come in, and he used PowerPoint. He had his own projector, used PowerPoint, and they were amazed by it, but they can't. When they left, they told him, when they invited him back the second time, they said, you can come back, but don't bring that PowerPoint. Nowadays, PowerPoint is very effective, right? I mean, it's good to have visual. And so change can be good. It can make preaching the gospel more effective. We just be willing to accept change and examine what the change is. Is it scriptural or not? A third thing is really listening. Be willing to listen. Now, most of us have problems with this. Because a lot of times when we're in problem conversations, what we're doing is we're listening and wanting the other person to get through with her talking because I already have my mind made up. I already know what you're saying. I already know what the response will be. And I want you to quit talking so I can get on my life. Now, we don't say that way, but that's the way we ought to mean it. But listening requires effort. And it requires time. It requires caring about the other person. And so, scripture along this line here, James 1, verse 19, through, it should say, 20 there. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God has not produced the righteousness of God. Notice there, one thing to be swift to do is listen. Because the more we listen, amazing things happen. We start gaining knowledge. We start learning what other people are thinking. We start gaining wisdom also. And that's the thing about it. Aging requires to have some humility. To be willing to listen to other young people. And so we need to be willing to listen. A fourth thing is, and I know this doesn't happen to any, but of giving of unsolicited advice or opinions. Now, old people a lot of times get by with this because they're old people. And we expect older people sometimes to say things that just off the top of the head, like, when I was your age, I used to do this here, or I never did that when I was your age. Well, let me start by saying that a lot of our advice, our relationship, determined by our relationship with the other person. Before you start giving advice, you need to think about what's your relationship to this other person. Do they know you well enough that you can give this advice? I've used this example a number of times, which I don't talk about in a minute or two for now. But the example is, when you're at the store and you see a child misbehaving, and the mom or dad is trying to crowd the child, trying to get them out of the store, and that's not time to go to them and say, well, you know, you're doing a bad job being a parent. Now, that's not a good thing to say. Not a good time because, first of all, they don't know you. You haven't built a relationship with that person. And so you need to think about what you're going to say to people, and you need to try to have words that fit the situation, too. And so Scripture encourages discernment, not just knowledge, but discernment. You may be right. By the way, the person may be doing a bad job parenting, They may just be having a bad time. The child may be sick. There's other things you got to consider. But he may even being right doesn't mean that you just go there and tell them, well, you're doing a bad job being a parent. And so the passage here, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. Word fitly spoken is the key there. And therefore, you need to think about how it's going to be received, the timing right. You may be right again, but the timing right. And we're choosing good words. And some people have a good knack for this, by the way. I knew one person that came to me and talked to me, and he really told me off, but I really thanked him afterwards because it made me feel so good about telling me off what he did. Now, what he did was he simply said, now, and he explained where it's coming from. I thought, well, that's logical. I can understand that. I appreciate him doing that. And so we need to think about how we give advice to other people. The other thing, another thing is repeating the same old stories. That's why I said, I know you heard the story before about being the person at the grocery store or shop with the, or with a child that's misbehaving. And I used that example before as far as relationship advice, and I realized that this can be a big ask for many of us, especially preachers, because we forget what we told at different places. One of the reasons, by the way, I think that a lot of preachers like doing gospel meetings is because you have all of your stories you've ever told available to that audience because none of them heard the stories before. And so you wonder, why is the preacher always so good when he comes here? Because he has new material he can try out on us. And so you start thinking about that. Repetition can be negative and can be positive also. For instance, clean your room. Do your homework. Don't speak with a mouthful. And when you say things like that on and on, our children hear this. And until your child starts rolling their eyes, they know what you're going to say even before you say it. I know I need to clean my room. I know I need to take care of the laundry. I know, and they say things like that. Well, maybe you're worn it out. But the fact is that sometimes there's times to tell stories, sometimes not tell stories. For everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Stories can be shared wisely and can illustrate things that people need to learn. For instance, with our children, when you have a baby, how many times do you teach a child their eyes by saying, here's your eye? And you go back and repeat it again, here's your eye. And you keep on doing that until finally you say, well, where's your eye? And you know, well, baby says, okay, eye. And they understand that. And then you go ear and the nose and all through, you know, and your phalanges or fingers, whatever you want to call them there. But you stop thinking about how many times you do that and why you have to do that. Because it takes more time to learn that, right? And so you start teaching them things like that. But then when it comes to no, as far as the no type things like don't touch TV, we say no and we go smack their hand. Maybe the first time, smack their hand. Well, why you do that? Why don't you have the same pace with them with the no stuff as you do with the where's your eye type stuff also? So when you start thinking about this, Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8 warns us about vain repetitions. Let me get over here. Matthew 6, chapter. And verse 7 and 8. And we pray to not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need what you need before you ask him. It's not trying to dissuade us from saying prayers, but said, don't use, my translation, ESV says empty words. A lot of translation says vain repetitions. Don't just say things over and over again, just be saying something. Your Father knows what you need. And so we need to think about what we're saying when we pray to God. But other passages talk about the need for repetition. For instance, over in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Okay. How often should I teach my children the Word of God? When they get up in the morning? When they go to bed at night? When they leave the house, I need to talk to them about God's Word. When they come back, I need to talk about God's Word. You know, start doing that, you realize you're going to be repeating yourself a lot to your children. They said, I want you to do that because that's the way they learn. That's the way you ingrain things in their minds. And so young people, if your parents start talking about certain things, and maybe they do repeat themselves sometimes too much, or old people may repeat themselves too much, but just keep this in mind, and that is, you may need to learn, hear this because the Bible often uses repetition to get us to learn also. And other passages, it talks about use vain repetition for emphasis. Isaiah 20, verse 10. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, there, here a little, there a little. What's he talking about? He's talking about, you know, repetition again. So we need to think about that. And final thing as far as things to avoid when aging is retiring from life. I knew a brother in Christ that I don't know if he actually did as much as he thought he did when he was younger, if he actually did all the things, but he often said, I used to do these things, used to lead all the prayers, used to lead all the singing. And then in this conversation by saying, but I'm through doing that now. I'm not going to do that anymore. What he meant was he's going to retire. He's quitting doing. Now, when we stop thinking about this, Psalms 92, verse 14, again, they shall bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. Fresh, flourishing. That is, they should be growing and active. Now, yes, you change and your ability to do things has changed, but we don't ever retire from serving God. And maybe we have to change our attitude sometimes about what we're trying to do. Maybe we get discouraged because we can't do what we used to do. But again, we still do what we can, whatever that is. And with age comes often wisdom that can be imparted to younger people. Old age is a time of wisdom and increased faithfulness to God. By saying, not a time of retirement. But the thing is that the aches and pains of life can prepare us where we start looking forward, more forward to, about going to heaven. I remember my dad, in the last year of his life, trying to have a conversation with me. I wasn't ready to hear the conversation yet because I still thought him as being active and vibrant, but he's talking about he was ready to face God. He was ready to live his life. And the reason is because he had aches and pains and he couldn't do what he used to do. But you know, if you live life faithful to God, then you can look forward to going home and being with him. We often use that phrase, going home to be with God. And so there are advantages to growing old because one of these days you'll grow old and you'll go home and be with God. And so this morning we have a song encouragement for anybody that has not lived faithful to God's word or not obeyed the gospel. If there's anything we do this morning to encourage you, won't you listen as we stand as we sing?